Welcome along to the D Word podcast. Later this month, I have the pleasure of being a guest speaker at the Virtual Minding Dementia Summit. And this week, I'm delighted that my guest is the inspiration behind the event, author and podcast host, Lisa Skinner. Well, Lisa, it's a pleasure to welcome you to chat here on the D Word. Lots to cover, a lot of things to talk about, but I guess to start with, you know, can you just tell us, I mean, how did you develop your interest in dementia as a subject?
Well, that's a great question. I think that based on kind of looking back and reflecting back, all of the things that led up to me getting involved turned out to be my calling. So I'll start with my grandmother. I actually have had 8 of my own family members fall prey to one of the brain diseases that causes dementia. And 5 of those were blood relatives. 3 were through marriage. For example, my mother-in-law was one of them. So when I was a teenager, I visited my grandmother regularly because she only lived a few miles away. And when I got my driver's license, I started going over there on my own without a parent. And so this one day in particular, I drove over to just have what I thought was going to be a regular visit with my grandma. And I sat down in her living room. And she started telling me about these birds that were living in her mattress, and they would come out at night and peck at her face. Then she told me about the rats that were invading her home, and she pointed to the wall and said, "Don't you see? They're just running all along the wall." Of course, I didn't see a thing. And then the last thing she insisted was these men were constantly trying to break into her home to steal her jewelry, and they were going to kill her, is what she told me. And I sat there with my jaw in my lap, not believing that these stories are coming out of my grandma. I've known her all my life, never known her to embellish anything or make stories up. She was actually a very shy, demure little lady. So I even took her into her bedroom. I said, "Grandma, I want to believe you, but I don't understand how birds could be living in your mattress. So show me where they're coming in and out of." So we walked into her bedroom. I threw her covers off. I'm not seeing anything on the top of her mattress. I pushed it up. I'm not seeing any holes on the underside. And I said, "Okay, Grandma, tell me, how are these birds getting in and out of your mattress?" And I have to tell you, Pete, her response was brilliant. And then, of course, after I started doing this professionally, I realized that they always have brilliant responses. And so she said, "Oh, Lisa, they are there. They're just very, very clever." So that was my introduction to Alzheimer's disease. And what stuck in my craw was, unbeknownst to our family, my grandmother, well, of course, she was experiencing what we know are hallucinations and delusions, which are very common with Alzheimer's disease and other brain diseases that cause dementia. I went home and I said something to my mother because this completely caught me off guard. And she said, "Oh, Grandma has what they called back then senile dementia." We never even heard the word Alzheimer's disease. I don't know if you remember that, but senile dementia, whatever that means, it's synonymous with Alzheimer's disease. And I said, "Why didn't you say anything?" I said, so I told my mom the story, and I said, I was completely caught off guard. I was not expecting that at all. And I really didn't know what to do or say because we don't talk about this, which was very common, right? So unbeknownst to us, my grandmother was calling the police 3, 4, 5, 6 times a week with the same claims that she had just shared with me. And in the beginning, they went over there to investigate. they realized early on that nothing that she was saying could possibly be true. And then after a while, after my grandmother continued to call the police, they tracked my mother down and they knocked on the door. The chief of police knocked on the door and came in. I was standing there and basically he said to my mother, "You need to do something with her. She's a nut. And we just don't have the resources or the time or the availability to keep receiving these phone calls from her when there's nothing there. She's just out of her head." And I really took offense to that, Pete, because I knew my grandmother wasn't a nut. And for somebody working as the chief of police who was dedicated to protect the community, he just made a rush to judgment that my grandmother had to be a nut because of these far-fetched stories she was telling. Yeah, they were far-fetched, but there was also something clinically wrong with her. And he never, ever mentioned that. He just called her a nut. So that was that never left me. And then when I was in college, I took a course on human behavior. And I decided that's what I wanted to get my degree in because it just fascinated me. What makes people tick? Why do people behave the way they do, even in different settings and environments? So I became a behavior specialist. I didn't exactly know what I was going to do with it, but long story short, and then since then we had had more of our family members come down with brain disease. I decided that I wanted to work with family members and caregivers because, as you know, and my experience with the police officer, this is such a misunderstood disease. And I experienced it firsthand as a 16-year-old. I was offended that this man had the gall to call my grandmother a nut when he knew nothing about what was going on with her. And then as I started to work with families, I realized this was a consistent problem throughout. And I've been doing this now professionally for 30 years. And I don't know about you, but I can honestly say that I don't see that much has changed with people's understanding of the complexities of these diseases and that these behaviors that we see that accompany dementia, the hallucinations, the paranoia, the suspiciousness, are all part of this disease. So basically, to answer your question, I decided to dedicate my life to raising awareness. And as you know, the projected number of people who are expected to develop Alzheimer's disease in the next 23 years is supposed to triple worldwide. And I can honestly say, from what I've seen, and I've been exposed to this for 50 years now, we are not prepared for this. And I believe the UK, the number one leading cause of death for seniors in the UK is Alzheimer's disease. That's true in the Netherlands and in Finland. In the United States, where I am, it's the sixth leading cause of disease, but it's a chronic problem worldwide. And I really feel strongly that we really need to help people better understand what living with the disease on a day-to-day basis is like, because it impacts everybody, not just the person who has it.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
The This is the D Word Podcast with my guest, behaviour expert, podcast host and author, Lisa Skinner.
I mean, you talk about that experience as well. You know, raising awareness takes a number of forms, doesn't it? And you've done it with a couple of books as well, haven't you? Tell me about the books.
Okay. So before I wrote the book, I actually had a consulting business where I help people understand the disease and taught them strategies and techniques for responding to things like birds living in your mattress. And because there are best practices and effective ways to respond and ineffective ways to respond to those types of behaviors that we see and stories that we hear. So I was called over to this client's house, and her father had been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, and her mother-in-law had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. And they were both diagnosed about 2 years prior to me going over to their house. And really, the purpose of me going over there, they wanted to pick my brain and just get some valuable information. So after about 2.5 hours of answering their question, she stops me and she said, "Lisa, I just want to take a pause here and tell you that you have provided us with more valuable and insightful information in 2.5 hours that you've been here than we've been able to get anywhere else in the 2 years since both our parents were diagnosed." And I'm not saying that to blow my own horn or anything. And then, because I'm leading into what she said next, and this was really profound for me. She said, "So you need to write a book." She said, "You obviously understand this disease and know a lot about it. And I think it would be really, really selfish of you not to share what you know with the rest of the world and help people like us who have been struggling with this for 2 years because we can't find information to help us get through every day of our new world." And I had been thinking about writing a book for a long time because I'd been working for, I don't know, 20 years already professionally in this field. But when she said that to me, the way she presented it to me, it would be selfish of me to not share what I know and help other families in this situation. I sat down pretty shortly after that and put pen to paper and wrote my first book. And then I've since written a second book, which is an updated version of the first book with new information and more information. And that's how I came to do that. And then since I have a podcast like you, I do a show every week. And I am organizing a huge event that you are going to be part of. You're going to be one of our featured speakers. And I think that we had planned on talking about this today, right? So it's okay if I, yeah. So what we're doing is I decided to organize an Alzheimer's and dementia summit. And I have been fortunate to have lined up experts from all around the world. There's 27 speakers altogether. And every single one of us is coming from the same place that we understand how difficult this disease is for family members and caregivers and neighbors and doctors. It impacts everybody. So all 27 speakers are coming together at this summit that's going to be aired starting January 23rd. To share our expertise, to share our insights, to share our stories. And every single one of us is doing this in the hopes that it'll make a difference in at least one family's life, and their world will be a little easier because we're all banding together to raise awareness about the disease and share our knowledge. So we're not selfish with the public. And Pete, I am so honored that you have agreed to be one of our speakers. We are getting signups right and left, just way above my expectations. And I think that that's a pretty telltale sign that there are a lot of people that are really in need of helpful information. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah, and I think the really good thing is that there are, you know, a lot of very knowledgeable people, but sometimes those knowledgeable people are in silos and, you know, they're ploughing their own furrow, as it were, whereas an event like the one on 23rd of January actually brings together all that expertise and all those knowledgeable people, and not only for the people that will get a lot out of it, hopefully, that will listen to the experts, but also for people like me, because, you know, I've got 26 other expert people that I can listen to, and I'm going to learn a lot, and hopefully those people that are speaking will actually be able to learn a lot from each other as well.
And we're covering such a wide variety of topics that are related to living with Alzheimer's disease. And I say related dementia, and I'm saying that just to clarify, because many people listening to the show right now may not realize that there are actually over 200 brain diseases now that cause dementia. Alzheimer's is the most common and the leading cause of dementia. But when we use the term dementia, we're really referring to the symptoms and the signs that accompany these brain diseases. And we kind of put them all in the bucket that we call dementia. So for any of you who are not clear on the difference between the term Alzheimer's disease and dementia, it's really just, you know, a broad-based term used to refer to the signs and the symptoms that accompany these brain diseases. And they do vary a little bit, but there are a lot of overlapping signs and symptomologies. And that's why we just put them in the bucket that we refer to as dementia. And the other thing too is, and Pete, I know that you're well aware of this, you can have, you know, 500 people who live with what we call Alzheimer's disease, and every one of them will experience the disease and progress through the disease differently. And also, people can live with more than one brain disease at the same time and have a couple things going on simultaneously. We call this mixed dementia. And so that's kind of why the term dementia refers to anybody who has a brain disease. And these are all the signs and symptoms that we can expect to see. But again, everybody goes through the disease a little differently.
You know, our traditional view of disease or illness is we'll get a cold, we'll get these symptoms and we'll get over it, or we'll have a pill to fix this. Whereas, you know, dementia world, as I call it, is so different from that. And you've got a whole number of different conditions, but all those different conditions can be different themselves, depending on who you are and the environment you're in. And I think, you know, going back to what you were saying earlier in the conversation, I think that's why people find it very, very difficult to understand everything that's going on.
And you are 100% right about that. So I'm going to refer back to my grandmother as an example. She had what they called back then senile dementia. It is synonymous with Alzheimer's disease. That's what we call it today. You know, it could have been something else, but we'll never know. We did not do an autopsy on her brain after she passed. But she kind of was shown the gamut of a lot of the more extreme behaviors that we see with dementia. She had the hallucinations, the birds in the mattress. She had the delusions. She saw rats running around her home. She had the paranoia of men trying to break into her house, and she claimed they were trying to harm or kill her. The suspiciousness, they were stealing her jewelry. There were other things that came up. So, you know, she was displaying a lot of the symptoms that do accompany dementia. But the thing is, to your point, Pete, a lot of people don't realize it's part of the disease, because a lot of people associate Alzheimer's disease with short-term memory loss and being very confused. But it is so much more complex than that. And these are prime examples of what we're talking about, because people do hallucinate and they do become paranoid and suspicious. Not everybody, but she happened to be one that really showed a lot of these extreme behaviors. And there are so many more. So this is what we all are committed to do, is help people understand what's happening to the brains of the people living with these diseases, and not just what to look for and what to expect, but why they're happening, why these things are occurring because of the changes that are going on in the brain over the progression of the disease. And then even more importantly, and I mentioned this before, how to effectively react and respond to a birds in the mattress story or things like that, because that's a very sensitive situation. And if people don't know how to react or respond to those type of things effectively, it can really set off what we call a catastrophic reaction. And without knowing that you're saying the wrong thing. And then the other thing I think that you probably have discovered, and I have discovered and observed, is most of the responses that we know are effective are counterintuitive to the way we instinctively want to respond to hearing stories like birds in the mattress. So we really have to help people change their paradigm about this disease and almost retrain our brains to react in a way that's not going to cause an even more serious situation with the person living with the dementia.
And I, you know, that is it. And I guess it's learning to live in a, you know, almost a parallel universe, isn't it? It's learning to live in another world that is inhabited by your loved one that is living with dementia. And as you say, you know, taking away all those knee-jerk reactions of, well, of course they're not. No, that can't be happening. This is impossible. Whereas, you know, you have got to retrain yourself. And when you're going through all the things you're going through in terms of watching your loved one with a cognitive illness, it's really, really difficult to have the ability to do that.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
On the D Word podcast this week, I'm chatting to Lisa Skinner about the importance of putting yourself in the world that your loved one living with dementia is experiencing.
Yeah, and I 100% agree with what you're saying. It's exactly what I've experienced and observed over the last 30, 40, 50 years, starting with my grandmother. And once people are aware of what the things we've been talking about and kind of their aha moment shows up, then they go, oh yeah, well, that makes total sense once they understand it. And then, understand why it's better to respond to that situation like this versus this. But you don't know what you don't know. And it's not intuitive to respond to somebody who believes that their spouse is still alive, who passed away years ago, without wanting to say, oh no, grandma, don't you remember? Grandpa passed away 5 years ago. No, they don't remember that. They honestly believe that their husband is alive and well and waiting for them. So there is a best practice for responding to that. That's a very common thing that people believe when they live with dementia. And just to kind of give you an example of the difference in how a response can have, if the person living with dementia believes their spouse is still alive, it's better to join their world than argue or try to steer them back into our reality. Because if I tried to convince you that your spouse was still alive and you believed wasn't still alive, and you believed in your reality living with this brain disease that he was, that could set off an unbelievable panic. Because if I told you that, it could be like you're hearing it for the very first time and believe, what? When did this happen? Nobody told me. So these are just all some of the things that any of us who have worked with families and people who live with these brain diseases have learned are the best way to approach these situations. And it's not easy. It's difficult. But once people do have a better understanding of it, then the bottom line is there's a lot of anxiety and stress that family members and carers go through with this disease because of a lot of the things that we observe and that happen unexpectedly without any notice that we're not prepared for. The end result for all of us is if we do understand what's happening to the brain, if we do know to look for and recognize the behaviors and the symptoms, if we do understand and know how to effectively respond, then we're creating a healthier environment and providing a higher quality life for the people that we love, whether that's your parent or your grandparent or the person you're caring for. And that's really our goal here, is to remove some of the anxiety, remove a lot of the stress, remove a lot of the frustration through education and knowledge. And then we can all focus on what really matters here, and that's spending quality time with the people we care for or the people we love.
Now, you know, I guess going back to your original experience, going back to that police officer, it's really also about the community understanding the condition, the way they have now began to accept other conditions like cancer or heart disease or whatever, and accepting that, you know, cognitive decline is just part and parcel of a disease. It is a disease. And if, you know, if we can get communities understanding that, then it will be a lot easier also for carers, or I guess sometimes just want to lock it away and don't actually want to mention it, which increases the stress on them.
Yes, and I don't know what your experience has been, Pete, but what I've seen over the decades is things have only now started to change a little bit since COVID. Before that, I didn't see a lot of movement in terms of people really being willing to talk about this disease or, have it trending in the news. I have started to see more of that since COVID because of the care homes that had to be shut down and a lot of the deaths that occurred. And the number one cause of death for a lot of these people was not living with Alzheimer's or dementia. It was loneliness and isolation. They gave up. And we learned a lot from the pandemic in terms of how it impacts people living with these brain diseases. So in the last couple of years, I have seen more change than I've seen in 30 years, but we have a long way to go. And we have a long way to go to even keep up with the number of people who are continuing to develop these diseases, because now the baby boomer generation, which is the largest human population ever to exist, and we're all getting older, are the the ones that are increasing these numbers. Plus, we're seeing a lot more cases of early onset Alzheimer's disease than we've seen in the past. We used to say, oh, yeah, that's very rare to have to show signs of Alzheimer's disease before the age of 65. We're seeing an increase in early onset Alzheimer's disease. So the numbers are definitely growing, and we're not prepared as a society. And it's going to continue unless a cure or a treatment is found between now and the year 2025, when the numbers are projected to triple worldwide.
Yeah, it's a scary prospect, isn't it? Time brings to a close, Lisa. It's been fascinating, and we will have more on the 23rd of January, I'm sure. If people do want to sign up, how do they do it?
Oh, they can go to www.mindingdementiasummit.com. It's a free conference. So anybody and everybody is welcome. We really are all dedicated to raising awareness. And there is an option to upgrade for a measly $27. And if you choose that option, but you don't have to, it's a free event, you will get the recordings of all 27 speakers to have for your own resource library. And there's, you know, just a treasure trove of information, a jam-packed day filled with lots of information from experts on Alzheimer's disease, dementia, and other brain diseases that cause dementia.
Well, Lisa, I look forward to joining you then and taking part in the summit. And thank you so much for being my guest here on The D Word.
Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure to be here, Pete.
My thanks to Lisa, and I look forward to chatting to her again at the Minding Dementia Summit on the 23rd of January. You can register free for the event at www.mindingdementiasummit.com. Well, that's all for this edition. Hope you've enjoyed it, and you'll join me again soon for another D Word podcast.